You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The National Party has been claiming that the workforce shortages in New Zealand is a result of mismanaged immigration policy. This week, to address these shortages, the government announced that skilled migrant workers will be able to be paid under the median wage, as well as a doubling of the working holiday scheme cap and an extension to currently held working holiday visas. For my weekly catch-up with National MP Dr. Shane Retty, I asked him to explain what he thinks needs to happen regarding immigration policy, as well as how he views this latest announcement. I first asked him exactly what issues he identifies with the current number of immigrants to New Zealand.
So there are a number of things. First of all, we've been very slow to open the Hermit Kingdom. And we're now, and have been for a while actually, competing with international environments for international students, for workers. And we are behind the eight ball. They are finding more attractive conditions, more attractive immigration settings in other countries. And in both of those areas, our international students contribute a fair degree to our GDP, like billions of dollars, and yet we've been slow to open that up. And our critical workforce, we continue to be short in our critical workforce, and we're late to that game. And what we know is that nurses, for example, are going to places like Melbourne and Alberta and Vancouver, and they're going straight past New Zealand. And so our concern is, this is, as our immigration spokesperson has said, that this is just too little too late.
The government has announced a scheme to address workplace shortages, which includes an ability for skilled migrant workers to be paid less than the median wage, as well as a doubling of the working holiday scheme cap and an extension to currently held holiday visas. How do you see these changes, and do you believe they'll be effective in addressing at least some of these concerns?
So if we look at several parts of that, the reduction in the wage requirements for workers coming into New Zealand, they'll need to explain that to the various labour bodies. Here they are talking about raising wages, and yet in this instance, when it suits, when their own failures come to the fore, they're prepared to reduce that. So we'll need to see the impact analysis on that, but they need to look at their own principles and philosophy around that. With a view to the recently announced extension to the working holiday program, several parts to that. That is definitely too little too late. We've had about 3,800 people come in on working holiday visas. Pre-COVID, that was up in the tens of thousands, about 50,000. The application process is not open to all countries. To some countries, it only opens in 2023. And what we're hearing is that there's also a doubling of fees. None of that is welcoming. We've been saying several things for a long time, five things actually. First of all, we should consider refunding the application fees for the working holiday visa. Secondly, raise the age limit to 35. Thirdly, all countries that we currently have a working holiday visa with should be able to apply immediately. Fourthly, an extension to those who are already in New Zealand on working holiday visas, and secondly, considering renewing for second and third visas those in critical industries where we're short, like tourism, hospitality and agriculture. And we've been saying that for several months now, so clear difference to what the government is doing. They have taken up some of those suggestions. They've extended the holiday visa, but application fee, not opening it to other countries. These are all hurdles that continue to make us unattractive.
You mentioned that the current Labour government needs to check its philosophy in regards to wages and labour because of this temporary lessening of the median wage requirement. How do you see a path forward to getting more immigrants into New Zealand without a dampening effect on wages, given the current state of not just the New Zealand labour market, but the global one?
So the Productivity Commission has recently come out saying that increasing immigration settings will not have a dampening effect on wages. They said two things, actually. There'll be, in their view and with their analysis, increasing or turning on the immigration tap does not lower wages. And secondly, that if you place a migrant worker beside a New Zealand worker, your productivity goes up more than you'd anticipate. You sort of get 1 + 1 = 3. I think those are two really important findings from the Productivity Commission.
Recent National Party media releases have identified, as you have in this interview, an issue with competition with countries like Australia, where New Zealand doesn't offer the same kind of wages and therefore is not as attractive. How could wages increase to keep up this competition with Australia while still lowering requirements for entry? And how are relatively low New Zealand wages a failure of New Zealand immigration policy?
So I think focusing just on wages is focusing on the wrong thing, because we've had low wages compared to, or lower wages compared to other countries. For example, docs have been able to go to Australia and nurses for years to higher wages. And so often the discussion is actually not around wages, but terms and conditions. And if we look at the terms and conditions, again, using nurses as an example, look at what we have at the moment. We have a pay freeze from May 4. We have issues with pay equity. We have leadership that's saying nurses speak well, nursing organisations speak with forked tongue. The Care Capacity Demand Management Model, also known as the Safer Nursing Accord, sets a ratio for how many nurses can safely work with any given patient in any given specialty. For example, if you're on an orthopaedic ward, because they've had hips and knees done, they're unable to turn themselves in the bed, and so you need nursing and HCA staff to help turn patients. That's really heavy, that's physically heavy. That puts your back at risk, it puts arms, legs and shoulders at risk, and yet we haven't fully deployed. Minister Little said 15 months ago he would 100% fully deploy the CCDM. That hasn't happened. And they look into the sector and all they see is contention and a crisis. That is as much a factor for retention, that is, professionals leaving New Zealand, and for recruitment as much as it is wages. It is unlikely we will ever be at the same wage rate when you take into account foreign exchange as Australia. But we have been that way for a while. It's the terms and conditions that make a difference for people coming to New Zealand. That's what we need to focus on.
Do you believe that there is a systemic issue in New Zealand's approach to how we view citizenship and residency?
Look, that's something that has sort of changed over time, if you like, and it continues to change depending on the political environment. I think if you're talking about do we have a culture of welcoming migrants and absorbing them into society and embracing the skills and the multiplicity of richness that their culture brings, that is something that continues to be a work in progress. What I do know is that if we didn't have immigration and immigration labour, we would be struggling. Let's imagine 40-45% of nurses, IQNs or INQs internationally, qualified nurses, IQNs, and 40-50% of doctors are IMGs, international medical graduates. We would not cope without that really valuable immigration workforce. And so we need to be welcoming. We need to embrace them, make them feel welcome in New Zealand, embrace them into society, embrace the other attributes they bring apart from their arms and legs at the workplace. And we need to enjoy and be somewhat grateful on one level for the way our international immigration contributors are propping up New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.